Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling this Monday morning. Well, the Birds win. They get another win. It is, look, a real possibility of a march to a Super Bowl here. Now, look, it wasn't the most beautiful win. We know that. Defense was great. Offense, not so much. But they defeat the Packers, and all things being what they are, I don't say comfortably, but it wasn't that close. I'll put it that way. Look, it's a game to break down, and we'll do it with you on the phone lines, 215-592-9494. Obviously, the Eagles will play the winner of the Vikings and the Rams. That game's tonight. Eagles will play on Sunday, by the way, Sunday for the Eagles. So they'll face a team on short rest. Look, a lot to do with you all on the phone lines, 215-592-9494. Rich.
Joe, that is a huge deal that we face a team on short rest.
I love it.
Think about that. We know going in, they have one less day to prepare. And wow, and it's a night game. A night game is even less time. Like, it's a day and then some.
And so, coming from the West Coast.
I know. It's a huge
deal.
That's
a big advantage.
It feels serendipitous. I'm just saying there are things that have to happen and come together for good things for that season to have that completely special feel to it. This is one of those things where the dominoes fell our way. But, yeah, good to see you. Mickey Mouse's ears face forward, no matter what direction his head faces.
I don't know where you come up with this stuff, man, but I believe
his head's facing backward, and his ears, they're still cupped forward. It's this incredible cheat, like a comic cheat. Like the animators never draw his ears any differently, regardless of which way his head's
moving.
It's
almost like the Eagles defense, no matter what, unless it's the fourth quarter against Washington. They come through. Look, let's be real, guys. The Eagles won this game in large measure because the defense was spectacular. Now, we'll take your reaction to it all, 215-592-9494. I thought it was one of the best performances by the Eagles defense all year. Obviously, one of the best performances by an Eagles defense in a playoff game in a long time. Now, I do think, somewhat independent of the Eagles defense, Jordan Love wasn't very good, okay? So I want to separate that a little bit. Eagles
but
defense.
There's a causality.
There is a causality.
You have to give credit to the defense.
I am. But I'm
just
also
like
saying
you have to give credit to the Packers defense for doing everything they could to defuse our offense. And I hear people talking like that wasn't an impressive win. I hear people scoffing at that win like a double digit playoff victory.
Yeah.
Isn't impressive enough?
Well, impressive is an interesting word. I
don't know. It makes me angry to some degree that people are this spoiled. Oh, it needed to look. It needed to look how we did. That's a good team. The Green Bay Packers, their defense is really good too.
Well, that
their defense is really good too. Look at all the numbers heading into that game. It was comparable. We had to struggle to move the football at times because they're a good defense. They are well coached.
That's part of it. Jalen did struggle.
Jalen, absolutely.
Yeah, he struggled.
I was told that he wasn't going to be rusty, but I think that's wrong. I think we saw a little bit of rust, and I think that's okay.
Well, we may have, or we may have just seen he's just not that good, and people can decide, and we can go round and round.
He's not that bad, though. We've watched him all year. Like, rust was it. There is no way.
Rust was probably effective.
Yeah, he's not as bad as he was yesterday. He hasn't been all year.
Fortunately, that's the worst Jalen that we'll see this postseason.
I hope so.
So he was good.
Likely.
He was not great.
Yeah.
We should have scored a lot more with the way that our defense took the ball away, but it's hard to play quarterback to lead an offense at this level when everyone's trying to defeat you, destroy you, hurt you, kill you, maim you. Think about, look around the rest of the league. Look at Baker Mayfield. Look at Baker Mayfield.
There were a lot of quarterbacks
who was a really, really, really strong season because of his experience that he's accrued. By the way, let's think about that too. Everyone who's looking down their nose at Jalen, saying why isn't he more advanced at reading defenses? That bothers me because he's not Sam Darnold yet. He's not okay. How old? You got a few more years under your belt in the same system, in the same offense. Baker Mayfield, he's sort of a guy who's been around and recycled in this league.
For sure.
And so he's seen a lot. Sam Darnold, same thing. But they struggled. Sam Darnold last week looked nothing like the good Sam Darnold.
Yeah, yep.
Baker Mayfield lost yesterday. Look at Justin Herbert, who's a young up-and-coming quarterback
who
I thought would be outstanding with the run game he's got attached. He completed less than 50% of his passes and threw four picks.
John, I didn't even think Stroud was very good. He was horrible until he got better, but he won. But he wasn't particularly good. It was the way
Matthew Stafford is so much better now than he was when he was the young, just bazooka, massive arm in Detroit.
Yeah.
Yes, these quarterbacks, they make mistakes too. It is a tough, it's a tough thing to do to go out there and read it out the way you're asking. It's hard to play quarterback. Everything's geared to stop you. I'm excited about the fact Jalen has something that those other guys don't have.
Which is
and
what?
That outweighs the perfect reading it out that
the
you're
running
looking
stuff,
for.
The running stuff?
Yes.
Well, yeah.
He has the skill set that allows us the advantage that's even greater than having Tom Brady, the perfect pocket passer, read it out. We have an extra guy on every play. We have an extra guy on every single play our offense runs because Jalen Hurts is who Jalen Hurts is. And he does an incredible job of reading out the run game and getting us in the right play. Coach talked about the way that he changed plays at the line of scrimmage. You got a blitz in your face. Okay, we're going to have a blitz beater. Dial it up. Signal it out. I'm changing the face of this game the way I see fit, and it works. Because of what the coaches have provided me, the framework the coaches have provided me, it was good in that respect on several occasions.
I'm surprised you are like.
There are also
He put them in a lot of jeopardy. Let me just say this: in a game where it should not have been that close, because not only did the D like generally play great drive by drive, they also created four turnovers. And by D, I'm including the special teams, obviously. Three by the defense, one by the special teams. Like, Jalen played with a lot of fire yesterday.
There's no...
And that was scary. No, but let me say one more thing.
What do you mean he played with a lot of fire? He was too aggressive?
He made the game closer than it had to be. When I say play with fire, it got sort of close to almost losing because he didn't play better. But
it was not great. He was too loosey-goosey with his own body. He needs to protect himself better.
Well,
he gave too much of what you were asking for last week, which was sacrifice himself in the run game. I thought that was insanity
at
times,
the way
he was finishing with his head forward again.
But
you got to protect yourself better than that.
Well, rusty.
It was like no matter how you cut it, he was a little rusty. That's okay. We're still alive. I love what he brings better than anyone else.
Well, you don't mean better than anyone else.
Okay. I love
You like Hurts more than I do. You think he's a better player than I do. I mean,
I absolutely think he's a better player. I don't think he's perfect. I think he's going to look better this postseason immediately. And those who doubt that we can throw the football, just wait, because A.J. Brown had one catch for 10 yards. I guarantee he's going to be targeted an awful lot when this next game starts.
Well, probably.
So
but
that probably means he'll have some touchdowns in his back pocket. He'll be feeling good. And Jalen's numbers are going to be a little heftier this next week around, no matter who we play.
All right, so look, your reaction to the whole thing, obviously Hurts a pretty juicy topic coming out of that game. You know, what you make of it, 215-592-9494. I'll say this, I think there's an inaccuracy going around town. I heard it a lot after the game yesterday, and I don't know that it's true. A lot of people said Hurts has to play better for the Eagles to win the Super Bowl. I don't know that to be true. you know,
he doesn't.
They very well may win with him playing at this level. And you guys know I'm not happy that he plays at this level, but the greatness of the
this
team.
This level is good.
No, this level is not.
He
no,
played at
no.
a good level.
No. He played bad. John, he played bad.
No, he was bad yesterday.
Two different issues here.
Mistake-free he played, which was huge.
Yeah, you know, that's a big part of it. And that's been a big part all season. Two different things here. How good he was, how great the Eagles are. Let me just make this point again. The Eagles very well may win the Super Bowl with Jalen playing at this level. We don't know that when people say we as fans need him to play better, we don't know that's true because the defense is so exceptional. Saquon is so exceptional. I mean, they really are a team that may overcome Jalen's deficiencies and win it all. I hope he plays better. I am aware that he may be a preventing factor of them winning the Super Bowl. That scares me. That scares me a lot. Third and fourth quarter yesterday, that was a big worry there. But it was a survive and advance day. And guys, before we go any further,
it's a double-digit playoff win. That's impressive.
Well, here we go. Tremendous credit to the defense. Guys, I mean, let's not bury...
Well, what about Saquon Barkley, too?
Yes, but more to the defense yesterday.
I was unimpressed with the big bites we were trying to take on offense in terms of, like, I felt Kellen Moore could have gotten the offense out of their sputtering early.
Could have given it to Saquon Moore.
Quick stuff. Well, hand it off to Saquon a lot more early. Then, you know, late. Missed opportunity on that front. I think that'll look better. But Saquon, the fact that I was very grateful that we did stick with the run. You know, even though it didn't start as run heavy as what I would have expected.
It was a formula game in a lot of ways for the Eagles. In a ton of ways. One of which was they gave the ball to Saquon more in the second half than the first half. I mean, it fit the formula that Saquon had 9 carries in the first half. That's what they do. They normally give him about 9 or 10 in the first half and about 13 to 16 in the second half. That's what they do. It's what they did again. And look, I'll give Sirianni credit for this, man. He didn't panic. There are a lot of people around here panicking. And I think Sirianni, who probably didn't feel completely comfortable in the third quarter, how could anybody? But he knew that he could lean as that game went on more on Saquon Moore. Now, look, would I have liked them to give it to Saquon Moore early? Yes. I called for that all week. I was very clear. Look, two things I called for. Saquon more often, Jalen to run more. Two things I called for. You know, look, they played with some fire, but to use an NCAA tournament term, it was a survive and advance day, and credit mostly to the defense. They were freaking awesome. Awesome. I mean, that is a championship-level defense, and obviously you guys know my hope. My hope is that Jalen doesn't hold the team back from winning the title. We'll see. We'll see.
I think that narrative is just too much.
Okay, we'll see.
It was good, not great.
He was below average.
I wanted to see a lot better. I can't say it's below average because he did do what he was asked to do. I mean, it does feel like that ask is getting less and less.
Well, for sure. I mean, the defense carried the day, and the running game is there when you need
it. And that's the mark of a great team when all the parts are so strong.
I don't disagree.
There's less needed from each part.
They got a great football team. There's no question. 215.
The Super Bowl is fully in our sights.
It's real possible. Survive an advanced game, and major credit to the defense. And if you ask me more than anybody, Nolan Smith yesterday, player wise,
oh
I thought he was a destructive force.
Best game of his career.
So
yep.
It was awesome to watch that. You're right,
yeah.
Man.
And it was all over the place.
And listening to Coach Sirianni talk about him after the game, man, that was impressive. The way that I don't know if you heard
it.
He talked about it.
I heard it.
He wished his son would play like Nolan Smith. Of all the people out there you can choose. Like, to me, that says a lot.
He talked a lot about he loves football.
He says of all the people out there, he most wants his son to play like Nolan Smith. That sends a message.
I agree.
That made me go back and take a closer look.
Guys, let's be real.
It is impressive. 12
weeks ago, nobody thought he had this in him. 12 weeks ago, nobody thought he did. I mean, his improvement is one of the more remarkable improvements. Because, look, I wasn't flat out at bust mode on him last year. But early this year, when I felt like we still weren't seeing plays, it's like, all right, this one's just not working out. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494, your reaction to it all. Joe in Mayfair kicks us off. Joseph, good morning.
Well, good morning, guys. Great win. I feel bad for N'Kobe Dean. Hopefully it's not. Hopefully it's just one tear and not the whole knee, but he knew it right away.
He knew it.
Yep. And, playoff football, guys, is I'm glad you got to watch a lot of games, Joe, because when a quarterback that was only 7-for-8 in the second half, and you can't expect a quarterback who only drops back 23 times in a game to get into a rhythm to keep putting up big numbers. And Kellen Moore went brain dead in the second quarter. They went back to what they called offensively back in the beginning of the year, which was horrendous against the blitz.
I thought it was dumb also.
It was the worst play calling he's done all year.
Yeah, I thought it was dumb.
So I'm not gonna blame a quarterback who hasn't played for 3 weeks, who didn't turn the ball over.
Joe, he wasn't good though, man. I think you should blame him.
Joe, if you're 13-for-21 and three of those incompletions are thrown away, a quarterback's allowed to have three bad throw balls during a game. He had three bad throws in an entire game.
But let me just say, Joe, I'll say this from now until forever. It is typically with Jalen not the accuracy of the throws. It's when he doesn't throw it.
That's
the thing about passer. Joe, let me just say this. Here's the thing about passer rating. When people keep pointing at passer, 114 passer rating. What passer rating does not take into account is sacks that he takes because he didn't get rid of the ball, and times when he didn't throw the ball when he just chooses to run instead of get however many yards downfield with a pass. I mean, like, passer rating doesn't account for that.
Joe, he took two sacks against the fifth-best defense in the NFL.
I understand.
That defense was really
like,
good.
Not picking up a football for 3 weeks, and the play of the game got her made, but the play, Jalen saw the zero.
That was a big play by Jalen. That was big.
And I don't know what you do for work. You're a sports talk host. But if you don't pick up a ball for 3 weeks or can't watch film for 3 weeks or can't interact for 3 weeks because you're in concussion protocol and you're coming up against an NFL defense in a playoff game and you don't make a mistake.
Well, he made mistakes. He didn't make turnovers. But, Joe, let me ask you this question. Let me ask you a question.
One quarterback doesn't make mistakes.
Hold on, let me ask you a question, Joe. For next week, are we past the Rust or is Rust potentially still? I'm just curious. In advance, I just want to know if he struggles next week, am I going to hear about Rust or not?
For two things. First, I have never had a concussion, so I don't know how it's going to be playing again when you haven't played in 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. But what I want to tell you is when you're playing the NFL and you have shorter fields because of turnovers.
That makes it hard. Boy, it's hard. It's hard to go 20 yards when the offensive line gives you 37 seconds. Boy, that's hard. That's tough.
That's what I'm saying. Joe, what I'm telling you is you can't rack up tons of numbers if you have shorter fields.
Well, you can't rack up tons of numbers when the coach doesn't want you to throw the ball that much. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, he doesn't throw much because the coach doesn't want him to throw much, which is the right decision by the coach. Jeff in Phoenixville. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Victory Monday.
You got it, buddy.
Joe, just real quick, in my recovery of all my crap I've had done, I feel bad for everybody that mocks you for doing puzzles because I just did a 1,000-piece one just to keep my mind busy, and it was a lot of fun.
It is fun. Say. Dude, I did a 500-piece puzzle over the weekend.
That doesn't sound – I mean, you're not winning me over to puzzle doing.
It's like great with NFL football because you see the play, you go down to the puzzle for 30 seconds. You see the play, you go down to the puzzle for 30 seconds. It's great for non-Eagles football games.
Yes, great. It is. I had it on my phone, and you got to pick one that's cool because I did one of all the race
cars. It's not cool.
No matter which one
you pick, it's not cool.
I needed to keep my mind busy because, you know, just getting out of the hospital and stuff like that. And it helped keep my mind busy.
Well, we're glad you're doing better, Jeff.
give us
your reaction on the Eagles yesterday.
I consider this a mulligan game for Jalen because, Joe, you're right. He didn't play great, and we're not going to win with A.J. Brown having one catch for 11 yards.
That's where I think that statement might not be accurate. They might. They might win because of the defense, the offensive line, and Saquon. Does it make it harder? Yes, it makes it harder. It makes it harder to win.
That makes more sense, yes. It will make it much harder, but we need to have A.J. more involved. We need to have Devontae more involved. And I will say, N'Kobe going down, that's going to hurt. I mean, that's going to really hurt because, you know, how many tackles did he have this year? 128, 130?
We love him.
Excellent.
We admire him. Look,
we're just now realizing that he's excellent.
The last like month or two. It complicates a lot. And by the way, it also complicates the Zach Bond free agent thing.
Better re-sign him right now.
Yeah, if Nakobe... Hopefully, with the way that surgery goes now, and we got to find out the extent of the injury, we don't know.
No, we don't.
But you know, hopefully N'Kobe's ready for September, but who the hell knows? There's no way to know right now. So,
The last thing I will say, I'm sure that book that A.J. Brown was reading on the sideline is probably on Amazon's top 10 seller list now. Because
it's number one.
Yeah.
Is it really? If he wants, I was talking to Rob and Jason Avant. If he wants to read that during the sidelines and he's not going to blow up, he can read whatever the heck he wants, because I'm surprised there was no blow up yesterday, because obviously he looked frustrated. But, you know, let that man do whatever he wants as long as he's, you know, in his own little zone there and he's, you know, getting the ball next game. And I think the next game, whoever we play, be it the Rams, you know,
Rams or Vikings, you know, that's it, one or the other.
Yeah. I feel bad for their corners because I think A.J. Brown's going to have a monster game. Him and Saquon are going to both have monster games.
All right, Jeff, appreciate the call, man. Stay well. 215-592-9494. The A.J. Brown book thing, we'll get to that next, including what A.J. said about it. Your phone calls on all these topics. We do got to sneak in a little conversation on the Sixers arena thing. We'll get to that and more. But look, it's a heavy day on the Eagles for all the obvious reasons. They survived. They advance. Three more wins to a title, and they really might get it done. They really have a team primed to get it done. But there's a couple other teams that look really good as well. Buffalo and Baltimore, namely, over the weekend. The Eagles are in the Elite Eight, if we were to use an NCAA tournament term. Let's get to the Gattadoring Window winner of the weekend. There was a lot going on, obviously, beyond just the Eagles. Gattadoring Window, take advantage of Gattadoring Window's big winter sale. Through the month of January, receive 40% off all windows and doors. Call 1-877-GO-GATA. Or visit goguida.com. All right, let's start NFL playoffs. Again, we'll just broaden this out a little bit beyond the Eagles just for a moment, and then right back to the Birds talk. So NFL playoffs. John, Baltimore and Buffalo looked the best. Baltimore looked the best. I mean, they looked... Now I understand why their odds were as high as they were. Holy... I mean, that was the most non-competitive 14-point game I think I've ever seen.
Steelers were uninterested in playing.
It was incredible. So I don't know if you saw this stat. I only saw a report at one time, but it was the third biggest differential in NFL history of postseason rushing yards.
Wow.
They rushed for like 250 more yards than the Steelers, something like that.
Lamar.
270 or something.
Lamar is having just sort of another Lamar renaissance.
My God.
It seems like his game evolves and the team goes as he goes.
Yeah.
And so right now, man, they're operating at 100% efficiency because he is locked in.
What a second round showdown. Holy mackerel. Baltimore.
Yeah. Wow.
And Buffalo? Are you kidding? And Kansas City gets a tremendous advantage.
Rubbing your hands like, thank you.
That is wild. Woo. James, did you find most of the playoff games on the boring side? More boring than usual.
Other than last night.
Yeah.
Like last night was a great game, and other than that, it was rough.
It was pretty rough.
Yeah, like honestly, it was hard to get into them.
Yeah, Rhea, what stood out to you the other games?
When I'm watching the Texans and the Chargers game. It was like, 10-3 at the half? Or I mean, it was super close. And then I went, I'm tired of hearing what a great young quarterback Justin Herbert is.
Yeah, he was brutal.
Because in two playoff games that I've watched,
I know,
he's fallen apart.
I mean, that was one of the worst played playoff games I've seen in a long time by a player.
It was like every time
he
turned around,
horrible.
Interception.
Yeah,
you know,
he was horrible.
And the kicker. Cameron
which
Dicker.
Game? Oh, I
not
know.
Knowing the rules. I
what
mean, man,
was he
I know.
Thinking?
James, did he say he didn't know the rules? I wondered that.
I mean, he didn't move. I mean, he
either
had
that
to
or,
not.
Either
yeah.
that or he was afraid.
One or the other.
One or the other.
More likely, he didn't know the rules, I would think. Because I mean, it wasn't even like a thought. Like, there was no like movement, you know?
You have one
he got
job.
Clobbered anyway.
It's to know the rules as the kicker on special teams.
Incredible. All right, let's get to the Sixers arena. So, obviously, the whole weekend of playoffs on the table. We'll talk about it through the show. Sixers Arena, I'm sure most people saw the news. If you didn't, we'll just tell you. And by the way, talk about an all-time news dump an hour before the game. And the weird thing is, this is, I think, a good development, but there's also sort of an annoying element of this. So bottom line is the Sixers are not going to have an arena you know, in Center City. There's going to be a South Philadelphia arena. The Sixers and the Flyers and Comcast Spectacor, they all partner up. And with this, we'll get a new arena in the early 2030s. The Wells Fargo Center will be no more. Do we know yet where? Is it in the parking lot, like in between the Wells Fargo and Xfinity Live? Like, is it in there somewhere?
They're going to remove a lot of that parking, I believe.
Say that again, Ray?
They're going to remove a lot of that parking.
Well, initially, they have to.
I mean,
you have to build.
That's where our tailgate is.
No, I know. You have to build. The same thing they dealt with 20 years ago. You have to build an arena while another arena exists, and then you have to tear the first arena down to create more parking. So, let me ask you this question. Couple thoughts fired through my mind. I'm curious which of these, I'm going to give you three choices. Which of these hits you the most, James? One, this is a great development. And of course, that's if you wanted it to stay in South Philadelphia. Two, the Sixers are annoying that the whole thing might have been a ruse to, you know, have a leverage play the whole time. Or three, credit to the Sixers for being good negotiators. They backed Comcast down in a way where they had the leverage because of Center City and the mayor and city council, and they were just a better player at the poker table.
All of the above, Joe. I do. I really do. I think all of the above. I really do. I think that they knew that. I think they would have loved if it could have happened, but I think they knew the whole time that it was outstanding leverage for them, that it was a win-win for the Sixers.
Which one hits you the most of those three, John?
That bothers me a lot. Doesn't that seem wasteful? If that was all much ado about nothing for leverage and some negotiation otherwise, like, hey, well, give us more money when we build it over here.
Well, here's what I'll say. I'm not a Sixer. Like, you guys know how frustrated I get with
the
Sixers,
lobbying and everything else that went into all of that,
right?
Doesn't that feel wasteful? You know, I don't know the details on it, but man, I thought for sure this is the direction that things are headed. Like, back out of this, can you?
Well, I will say this,
I was shocked.
To the Sixers' credit and in their defense, Comcast in the end put a deal on the table that they previously, it sounds like, weren't putting on the table. So, you know, Comcast didn't want to tear down the Wells Fargo Center. And now it's going to come down.
The crazy thing is that Goodell was involved in it. That's what
very bizarre.
Silver and Goodell getting involved.
I mean,
I get
Silver being involved, but I wonder, like, how much the mayor and the city knew about you said all a ruse or just for negotiating.
I know.
Because I don't think it makes them look very good.
No, it doesn't.
You know,
it makes them look really bad, actually.
Because what you put, you know, the Chinatown through, all the people in that area who are freaking out.
I know.
You know, that's not good. That's not good for your constituents.
I agree 1,000,000%. Here's another element to the whole thing that is incredible. For all the time we as a show spent talking about it, the station spent talking about it, the whole city spent talking about it, I never heard one person float this possibility. And if we had thought it through to the nth degree,
we
could have gotten there.
Yeah, for sure.
That by having the Center City thing finally right in front of them, maybe the Flyers and Comcast would fold. And it sounds like that's what happened. They folded. And it's incredible that none of us thought of that possibility.
But again, all of the emotional, like the anguish.
They put a lot of people through a lot of stuff.
Not only was it wasteful, I don't know what they put into all of those lobbying efforts and everything else trying to convince people it was a good idea.
Yeah.
But man, no one who lived in that vicinity thought it was a good idea. And everyone was very upset.
I know.
I mean, all of that could have been prevented. It could have been saved. Like, really, was this just a leverage ploy? And if so, it feels like you took advantage of a lot of people and a lot of goodwill.
I agree with that. All right, one more thing from the weekend. Jeff Hoffman left the Phillies. He went to the Blue Jays. We knew it was very likely he'd be gone. It's a bummer because he was really good. I know the postseason was a fiasco from him, but I mean, he was one of their five or six best players last year.
And 2 years in a row, he was awesome.
I know.
Yeah.
So, you know.
He's a freaking all-star, man.
Easiest guy to replace.
Yeah, no doubt. No, it's a loss, without a
doubt.
It
is a loss. It is. All right, 215-592-9494. How it sounded here on WIP with the game yesterday. Merrill and Mike, the calls. The Merrill montage. We'll get to that shortly. Also, the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. In 2025, Armin Chevrolet is proudly celebrating 25 years of serving the automotive needs of the Delaware Valley. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Poll question, and one that I certainly expect the Rams to win the poll question. But we'll ask you this question. Who would you rather see the Eagles play, the Rams or the Vikings? That game is tonight. Winner plays the Eagles. Who would you rather see the Eagles play, the Rams or the Vikings? Let's get to Dan in Philadelphia. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. How is everybody today?
Doing great, Dan. How about you?
Good. I agree with Jimmy. It's all of the above to those answers. But, John, the good thing is that they're still going to do that Market Street development. So for all the people, you know, they won't be displaced, but they are going to put money into that area now.
Here's what will be interesting to know, Dan.
That is a positive.
Yeah, no, here's what's interesting, though. But Dan, how much? Like, who knows? We'll see. Do they go all the way? Or is it like we throw some money in? I don't know.
I think there is a set amount. I thought I read that it was pretty significant.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful. That would be good.
That's great. So it's a win-win-win-win all the way around.
That's good.
And then, yeah, I'm worried about Hurts, man. He just didn't look good at all yesterday. And I'm usually not the guy that, like, bashes a quarterback, but I didn't feel confident. I mean, I don't think we would have won that game without the defense if we're going to be honest.
Don't
be worried, Dan.
All right, Dan, let me say
don't
this.
Don't be worried, John.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very worried.
It was almost like he wasn't there. Like, I'm not the typical Philadelphia put the backup quarterback in, but, man, I'm like, I think we would have had 28 points going into halftime if Tanner McKee or Pickett was the quarterback.
Right, here's where I'm going to go with it. And this is one of those ones where people might hold it against me forever. But I'll say what I believe, and you may agree, you may disagree. If the Eagles win the Super Bowl, and they certainly might, I think Jalen Hurts is a lot closer to Trent Dilfer than Patrick Mahomes. I believe it.
I think
he's closer to Dilfer than Mahomes.
I just don't know where he was yesterday.
This is ridiculous. Like, no, you know what? You should be ashamed.
No, I mean, I'm just giving you my honest comment.
Because your clueless comment? Did you say clueless comment?
No, I said honest comment. Dan, am I right or am I wrong?
I think you're wrong. I just don't know where the Hurts that we know was yesterday. Like, not even 50% of him was there yesterday. Like, he's a way better player than what he showed yesterday.
Well, he is better than that. He is. But one of my concerns is he's just not what he was 2 years ago.
He talked
probably
about the
will
fact
never be
that
again.
He was not he didn't get into rhythm yesterday. I do think he could have been helped to get into rhythm with some of the play calls early, but it felt like a slog. And some of that was the Green Bay Packers, they made it hard. They disguised things, and they wanted to stop the run. They would load up. They would deceive. They would back off. You know, there was a lot of jockeying pre-snap that made it very difficult for Jalen to know where to go with the football. I don't think that would change regardless of who was under center. That is playoff defense. It's hard to decode. Everyone talks about this. Like, why
well, it's
can't
not hard
he
for
just
Lamar
do a great?
It's not hard for Lamar and Josh Allen.
Sure,
and those guys have less around them.
They did a good job against lesser defenses that didn't really challenge them the same way because they got broken down.
Yeah.
I mean, those defenses had no chance. The Packers defense did a nice job, and Jalen needed to do better with his reading things out faster, being more decisive with the football, but. And I saw him miss on a couple throws, you know, and it was uncharacteristic, I thought. Seeing a ball way behind Dallas Goedert, Dallas turns it around into a touchdown, you know, that was not what I expected. But, hey, it netted a touchdown. You know, like, what am I complaining about? So I'm not. We won the game. The other quarterbacks out there, Russell Wilson and, you know, Bo
well,
Nix and Justin
yeah,
Herbert.
Those guys struggled.
Everyone's going home.
Yeah. No, those guys struggled a lot. All right. Let's listen to how it sounded. Obviously, Maryland Mike on the call. It was a playoff victory. Let's see. For Sirianni and Hurts, let me add this up. That is three. Three playoff victories for these guys. So congrats. Andy got to 10. Donovan was part of 9 of those 10. Jeff Garcia won 1. So three playoff wins now for Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts together. This era, if you will, since the change from Doug to Nick. Let's listen to how it sounded. We're gonna need a montage.
Ooh, it takes a montage. Elliott hits it. It is high. And Nixon takes it at the goal line. He's out to the 5, 15, 20, and he does not reach the 30. He is hit hard.
Ball came out.
The Eagles having a turnover on the very first play of the game. How about that play to start the game? Up the middle he goes. He's at the 25, 20, down to the 13 goes Saquon Barkley. What a start for this football team. Hurts, drops, he's looking, he's rolling, he's still looking, and he is firing for the end zone. Touchdown! Wide open, Johan Dotson. Low, he looks. Going deep down the far side of the field. And it
Slay
is
took
incomplete.
It.
And Slay, it is Slay
took it.
Slay.
Big play. Slay takes it away.
Back goes Love. He's looking. He has time. He fires. And it's intercepted by Bourne. Bourne at midfield. Bourne runs out of bounds at the 45. Zach Bourne. First team all pro. Hurts. Fires. Complete. Wide open. Smith. 40. 35. That's more like it.
Yeah,
Hurts
there it is.
Rolling left. And firing to Devontae Smith for a big pickup right there of 28 yards. He is going to throw. He does in the flat. The nice catch by Goddard, who breaks the tackle across the five. Touchdown, Goddard.
Beast. He beasted him. He catches a simple flare pattern out into the flat, Merrill. And the cornerback is there, and he just beast modes him, pushes him in the face, not once, twice, and into the end zone.
Love back. He is going deep downfield, and it is intercepted! Intercepted! The first interception of Clint John Mitchell's career.
How about that? It's the fourth takeaway by this defense on tonight.
Hurts gets it to Barkley, and Barkley plows forward, and there's 100 yards. Again, it goes to Barkley, and again he breaks. He's at the 40, and he falls down. He could have taken that home. He was out in front of the world. He could have taken that to the distance.
Yes.
But he said, I will do the gentlemanly thing. I will fall down and run at the clock. It wasn't the best game the Eagles ever played, but it was a very solid win.
All right, and that's the Merrill montage. Obviously, how it sounded yesterday here on WIP as the Eagles get a victory in advance to face either Minnesota or the Rams. I don't know if it was the gentlemanly thing. It was more about just, you know, let's end the game, not have anyone get injured, not score a touchdown, and have the defense go back out there. He could have ran for about 60 more yards and then slid, or 50 more yards and then slid.
The bettors were not happy, Joe.
No, they weren't.
Because he was, like, the best odds for an anytime.
Most bet on.
Yeah, classic. All right, 215-592-9494. So let's address the A.J. Brown thing. Are we good with it because it was a self-help book, John, and because he said he does it frequently, or is it out of line?
Man, this is tough. I don't want to make a big deal out of this.
Is it more like you don't want to make too big a deal out of it or a big deal out of it?
On the one hand...
Let me ask you a question.
On the one hand, I'm just shocked because I've never seen anything like that.
I think it is
out of line. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, I've seen guys with, you know, some notebooks. I've seen guys with playbooks.
Yeah, tablets and all sorts of stuff.
Tablets a lot of times. Yeah. But, you know, self-help books, not before. It feels like it's something that's not of the team, so it shouldn't really be there on the sideline. I would have a problem with it. As a coach or a teammate or something like that, because it makes it feel like, I mean, really, like we've got a game going on, man. Like reading a book, whether it's self-help or not, during the game is not in the cards. You should not be focused on that. If you're not in the game, watch what's going on so you can help out whoever's in there and give them some, hey, I saw some coverage tip, you know, like I saw some stuff that I, you know, here's what you need to know. You can help, and you're not going to be identifying coverage if you're reading a book, you know, like I'm sure of that. So on that, I do have questions about how to deal with that. He's not distracting other guys, so to speak. We are making a distraction of it by pointing it out and then making a big deal out of it. So there's the conundrum.
So it is, for me, it's a conundrum as well. Here's where I'll go with it. Do I think he's out of line? I'll say yes. Do I think he's massively out of line? I'll say no. Obviously, the fact that it's a self-help book is a critical part of this. Do I buy that he reads it every drive, like after every possession, as he indicated? No, I don't believe that, because I think we would have seen that before. So I just don't believe that. I think they would be wise, if he wants to continue this, to put it into tablet form or a piece of paper. I mean, he can't read the whole book anyway in the midst of a game. Impossible. Can't even read a whole chapter. Impossible.
If Get a Kindle. I've been telling you this for years, Jack.
Right, exactly. If I were him and I were them, meaning the Eagles, I would put the most important passages that help him, you know, find his inner peace on either a piece of paper or a tablet. And those, you know, that paper might be two or three pages, but no more. I mean, there's only so much you can read, you know, when the defense is on the field.
There's just not.
So
when you take the field prior to a game, there had to be machinations in his, like, how do you get the book out there to the sideline?
He apparently has brought it out, brought it.
Yeah, there were pictures of him with it pregame, like to go out and stuff.
But he is smart enough to know that as the star receiver who's had one target, and he's reading on the bench.
Rhea, do you think he... So Curt Schilling famously was making a statement about Mitch Williams.
Which didn't go over well.
Which did not go over well in the 93 World Series. If you're too young to know, when Mitch was struggling, but prior to giving up the home run in Game 6 of the World Series, there were in various postseason appearances by Mitch, Schilling would put a towel over his head. Mm-hmm. Didn't want to watch. And it was Curt's way of saying,
I can't watch this.
I can't watch this. Rhea, do you think A.J. Brown was trying to make a statement by reading the book?
I do.
I tend to think that's likely correct.
It's a playoff game. There's not many teams playing. There's a lot more cameras.
And you got one catch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, look, I give him credit that it's a self-help book.
Listen,
it would be a whole different story if it wasn't. If he's reading...
You know, Catcher in the Rye.
Right.
I don't know.
James, is he making a statement?
Maybe. I don't... So
it is a maybe. We don't know.
Maybe.
We don't know.
It's a maybe.
This might help him.
Totally.
This might help bring him inner peace.
I don't have an issue with it in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. You know, like, again, like, those guys go out and put their bodies on the line. Like, if you need something that refocuses you, as he said, or gets your kind of head in the right space, like, I have zero problem with it. The question is, if it was a statement, then it goes to another level.
Yep.
So I don't know. But in and of itself, I don't have a huge problem with it. It's just the situation.
We've never seen anybody read a book on the sidelines. I mean, let's be honest.
No,
it was odd. But the last time AJ made a statement, they came out and threw the ball well. So I'm hoping this has the same...